You'd like, you can go ahead and turn over to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Last week, we began a series of lessons on rest. And I had one prepared to do today, but I think given our kind of unusual circumstances and the number of people who are needing to join us online, we're going to punt that one till next week and just continue with our study. But for just a few minutes this morning, I still want us to talk about the concept of rest from Psalm 95. We use this psalm pretty much as the basis of our study last week. And I want to begin at the end, in verse 11, where the writer here quotes God saying, "Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into rest." When you begin the psalm, you would not expect that conclusion. Because the psalm begins on a very high note, a very lofty note. Let's read it together. "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." It's probably been near 3 years ago, I read a book on the book of Genesis. Short book, but a fascinating study. And it kind of dropped me down into this Genesis hole that I can't quite get out of. Because I began to discover things that, though I've been reading Genesis all these years, I had just never seen before. And it's been just kind of this constant thing that I'll finish one book, I'm looking for the next one, just trying to get more information about the book of Genesis. Things that I had known for years started shining. And one of those was creation itself. I can kind of look at myself with a little bit of guilt and say, you know, you've been reading about the creation since you were old enough to read, 5, 6 years old. And yet, just a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, as I looked at that, I realized how much I've been missing. That as the Bible introduces this grand theme, here is the world being presented through the Word of God, that God speaks and everything comes into existence. But one of the most fascinating things that I have come to appreciate more in the past 2 or 3 years is our place in that creation. That when God creates us, he's not creating someone who is unworthy and unfit. As we oftentimes talk about humanity in sin, even as we've looked at this morning, of what we've done to ourselves. But rather, when you look at that beautiful, original picture of creation, God is saying, I have created you for a very special place and a very special purpose. I have created you to be a prime minister with me in the creation of the earth, to control it, to take it and to cultivate it. When you and I think about that, we understand why God created us. He wanted that relationship. And I think that's on the mind of the psalmist here as he introduces this. And he says, here is God, and he's over the mountains, and the seas are his. Everything belongs to him. And the point that he makes in this opening salvo is there in verse 2, when you think about what God has created, and that God has created you, and that God has placed you in this creation to a very important purpose, you need to give thanks. Do you ever feel like it's a little difficult to be thankful to God? You want to be, but yet you begin to pray, and as you are seeking to give that thanksgiving to him, you find your mind wandering or drifting, or maybe after you've prayed, you think that prayer was so cold and so flat. How do we deal with that? This psalmist says, think about the creation. Think about what God has done. Think about what God has done for you. Think about what God has given you as a part of that creation. And he continues on. And we ratchet it up a bit more in verse 6 when he says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." The psalmist says, God is your creator. God has created you for the noble purpose of sharing in this creation. God has created you as a caretaker for this creation. You need to give thanks, but then he takes it a step further and he says, this should also bring you to worship. Let me ask you the same question about your worship. Do you ever go home after a service like this and you think my mind was 1,000 miles away? Here I had assembled with the saints to offer worship to God, yet what I was doing was thinking about everything but that. My mouth was working, but yet my mind was far, far away. How do we deal with that? Well, may I suggest to you once again, one of the ways is by contemplating the creation. How would it be if before every worship service we have, that as we sit getting ready for that and preparing our minds, that we think back to Genesis chapter 1. And we think about how God interjected light into the darkness. And how God said, now I am a part of this to bring order from this chaotic state so that I can create a place for me and for my human creation to be together. Would that change our views of what we're coming to do? Would that focus us on who God is and the power of his hand and the power of his spoken word? And so if I find myself having trouble with thanksgiving, I think about creation. If I find myself having trouble keeping my mind focused about worship, I think about creation, because it is here that that relationship begins. And I believe that's what the psalmist is encouraging us. But then the psalmist takes a quite unusual turn. Here have been these amazing, beautiful thoughts. But then let's see what he says at the end of verse 7. He says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I want to ask you a third question. Have you ever had trouble with rebellion? We've asked if we've had trouble with thanksgiving. We've asked if we've had trouble with worship. Because I think all three of these questions are related. When are we tempted to rebel? The temptation to rebellion occurs when we think we know better than the one who's in charge. And so that could be children with their parents. That could be students with their teachers. That could be employees with their employers. That could be citizens with their government. And it can be a creation with its creator. And so as we look at the book of Genesis, we have that beautiful picture of creation. And then chapter 2, the angle kind of swings around a little bit to show us what's going on the earth. And it gives us another beautiful picture of God creating man and placing him in the garden. And then we come to that ugly section of rebellion, where the woman and the man say, this is not what we want. And God says, okay, then you don't have to have it. And we see those tragic consequences. And for the remainder of the Bible, that story is told and retold and told again with different people in different situations. But the story is always the same, that God has given something very, very good. But if you don't appreciate the God who gave it, you won't appreciate what you've been given. And whether you were Eve or Adam or Cain or Lamech or the generation of the flood or whomever, the taste of rebellion becomes sweet when you think you've got a better plan. And so the psalmist, after this powerful introduction of think about the creation and thank God because of it and worship because of it, he says, make sure you don't rebel against him. So let me leave you with one more good purpose of Genesis 1. If you in your heart are being tempted to rebel, think about the creation. That here is a God who so desires a relationship with his human creation that he has put us in this world to not only care for it, but to be one with him. And so as our thoughts think about rest, that rest comes in this life when we submit ourselves to him. That rest doesn't mean there's never going to be a bad time. There's never going to be something difficult. What it does mean is we are at peace with the one who has created us and has been working through all of these years to bring us to that paradise setting where we can live in rest with him forever and ever. And so I hope this morning that as we think about these words from Psalm 95, we are encouraged to be thankful. We are encouraged to be worshipful. But we are also encouraged to build on that relationship with God rather than rebelling against him. Lord willing, next week we're going to talk about Israel and the great opportunity they had and forfeited, but yet in their forfeiture, what opportunity lies there for us today. But as we close these thoughts this morning, it may very well be that there's someone who is in that state of rebellion. That though you are here, which signifies you want to do right with God, still within your heart there's difficulty surrendering to him. In light of the creation, I would encourage you this morning to reconsider your idea. To take that rightful place where God wants his humans, so that one day you can walk with him forever in paradise. If this morning we can pray with you about that, we'll do so. Or maybe it's this morning that you're ready to leave the unrest of sin and to come into that peaceful relationship with him through the waters of baptism. If in any way this morning we can help you in that journey, won't you come as we stand and sing together?